Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I'm a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening. This episode of the Dating Advice Girl podcast is sponsored by dating app Hashtag Open. What does being open mean to you? At Hashtag Open, it means approaching experiences and relationships with an open mind. You'll find people of all genders, sexual orientations, and relationship styles on Hashtag Open. Friendship, fun, love, lust, connection, and intimacy, you choose your experience on the dating app Hashtag Open. Toss out the traditional dating rulebook and try something different. Meet your matches on Hashtag Open and find me at hashtagopen.com/Erin. That's hashtagopen.com/ERIN. You can download it for free now in the App Store for iPhone and Android. I'm so excited. I'm with the fabulous Dixie De La Tour of Body Storytelling. Dixie, how are you?
I am really tired from last night's show in LA, but I'm good.
Yay! I know. So yeah, as Dixie just mentioned, she brought her show back to LA. You hadn't been here in like a couple years, I think, right?
Like 3 years.
Oh, 3 years. We've missed you.
I know. I got a lot of that last night. It was really nice. Everybody was like, we missed you so much. And lots of hugs and faces I hadn't seen in way too long.
Well, and that's true. I mean, you really are a connector, a great connector, because there are a lot of people I haven't even seen in Los Angeles since the last time you did your show. So really, yeah, like certain people, I won't name names, whatever, but I was like, oh my gosh, and how are you? And let's catch up. And the last time I saw you was at Dixie's show, you know, a couple years ago. So you really are, I know, look at, if you can't see Dixie's face right now, but she's like processing what I'm saying. No, really, you are a great connector. And like I mentioned before we started this podcast, there's no other show like yours here in LA. And so we really do miss your presence here. Just, I know, are we gonna cry during this? Is this
let's
what's happening here?
Cheers, Madame, let's do it.
So for those of you who don't know who Dixie is, Dixie does an amazing show called Body Storytelling. And really, Dixie, you probably should just tell the audience what it is. Because, well, okay, here's my idea of what I say
it
is.
Yeah, tell us what you think it is.
So basically, I know, I love this. I tell people that it's kind of like a dating, sex, relationship, storytelling, almost spoken word show, where people can share their personal stories on a stage. And it's a whole range of people who share their stories from, you know, more innocent stories to very detailed, sexual, intimate stories of their experiences. And then everyone claps, and then you give out a bunch of awesome gifts and prizes, usually from the local sex shop or something. Mm-hmm. And there you go. That's the show. Yeah. So tell us really what it is. Okay.
First off, a lot of people don't know the word body because it's a very old-timey word.
Mm-hmm.
I used to see old movies by Mae West on TV when I was a kid, and she was always referred to as this body broad because she was always making these double entendres that you go, did she actually say what I think she said?
Yeah.
And so I always just kind of loved her. I love that they referred to her as body, so it was always one of my favorite words. But it's a word that means off-color, risque, ribald, blue, any of those things.
B-A-W-D-Y, body.
Yeah. But if you go to B-O-D-Y storytelling, you still find us because we redirect. But a lot of people think it's
B-O-D-Y. Wait, seriously?
Yeah. A lot of people think we're B-O-D-Y because body is an old-timey word.
Yeah, yeah.
Body storytelling is the original sex and storytelling series. We were coming up on 13 years. I was a sex party producer who really thought that our community needed a place to tell their stories without restrictions.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What do you mean when you say sex party producer?
Sex party producer would be someone who, let's say you want to have a party with a bunch of people, and it's not a house party.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have access to new people because that's part of the experience.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I think I've had sex with you already. I wonder if there's anybody new I haven't had sex. So you give them a place to have on-premise sex.
Mm-hmm.
So that usually means there's lots of fluff and beds and There's plenty
pillows.
Yeah, lots of pillows, lots of condoms, lots of dental dams, all the supplies you need, all that's provided when you go in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a place for, if you were in the main area, usually at the parties I threw, you wouldn't even know you were at a sex party.
Yeah.
You just think you were at a really cool party and yeah. the costumes were amazing because costumes were part of it.
Yeah.
And then if you hit it off with somebody,
right.
there was like a couple of places where you could go, why don't we head off that direction? And there was a space to get horizontal and,
right.
you know, you could watch people.
Yes.
As long as it was okay with those mm-hmm, people. Mm-hmm. You could connect with new people. And sometimes you don't want a stranger back at your house.
Right.
But you still want to have sex with them.
Maybe you do. Exactly. I love it. I just, yeah, I think it's good to break it down because we were saying before, I try on the show, I really try to not assume that everyone is on the same page in
Absolutely.
Terms of experiences and learning curves.
I do the same
vocabulary.
Thing with storytelling. Yeah,
I love
everybody
it.
Gets to know that. So
yes.
we've been doing this. I've been doing this for over a dozen years. We always follow the same format, which is true, told not read off paper, related to sex, kink, gender, body image, and told in about 10 minutes for the curated show. Mm-hmm. I do two shows, Body Storytelling, the curated main stage, the flagship show,
mm-hmm.
somebody called it the other day. And then Body Slam is where people put their names in the hat and they compete for sex toys and things like that.
So your main show is in San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm based in San Francisco.
Right. And then you're on tour right now, which is why LA was one of your stops. So mm-hmm. what are the other stops on this tour, on this body tour?
So I did this thing. People write me every single day. I get like 10 emails a day going, please come to Miami. Please come to Denver. Please come to...
Yay.
And figuring out where to go is hard.
Yeah.
Because that might be one person.
Right.
You don't know if
right.
that's going to fill a venue, and touring is expensive.
Yes.
So I did this thing called the test tickle, which sounds like testicle.
It does. Yes, it does.
It was kind of planned that way, but not by me. My podcast producer came up with that one. So I figured if we could sell tickets, you know, if you buy a certain number of tickets in that city, that's mm-hmm. a viable city.
Yeah.
And you clearly want us. So we just got to take the time it takes to set a date and find a venue.
Yeah.
And then you've already bought a ticket to that show. Your ticket was your vote for your city.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And LA voted for us.
Yeah.
And we hit the number that we needed. So we came to LA. I'm still keeping the rotation. I do monthly San Francisco and Seattle.
Okay.
So those are still in there. But we've also added L.A., Chicago, New York.
Oh, yay. And East Coast.
Yeah. One East Coast date. But we kind of went with the cities that the Body Storytelling podcast does best.
Yeah.
And so we're like, I want to do an East Coast tour.
Yeah.
It's just hard to figure out where to do it. People go, why don't you go to Kennebunkport, Maine? Do you really think there's that many perverts in Kennebunkport? That are
you know what? Actually, there might be.
There might be.
I feel like areas that you wouldn't expect have this most underground, like, you know, things that are happening, but it's just very secretive.
It's very you know? Secretive, but that makes it hard to find storytellers.
Totally.
In that.
Yes.
Because you may have a huge draw for these things.
Yeah.
But getting local people to get on stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there are things that affect ticket sales, which are, I've
totally.
Never heard of any of these people. You actually know them. They're in your community. But they don't want it out in the world that they're talking about sex on a stage.
Right, absolutely.
These are all like special little problems you have when you're a
yeah.
sex and storytelling show.
That yeah, see, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you said before going back that you've, for over a decade, so like 13 years,
mm-hmm.
you've been doing
Almost,
body?
Yeah.
Wow. So what was the impetus? Is that the word, impetus?
That's a word.
That is a word. I don't know if it's the correct word here. What inspired you to create Body Storytelling specifically?
So I was a sex party producer.
Yes.
And everything I did revolved around sex. I was sex parties all the time. Everything was sex positive community for me. I never really understood why. And storytelling is a great way to understand your motives for
yes.
things. Like
yes.
when you start breaking things apart, you're like, oh, I understand myself so much better.
Yeah.
I had a friend who invited me to come see him tell a story at a Burning Man personal narrative event.
Yeah.
And I'm like, storytelling? Oh, it's going to be like that lady in the library dressed like Pocahontas. I'm like, want to punch somebody.
Right.
And then when I went there, it was just this cafe in outer Richmond in San Francisco. And it was just people going, well, I've got one. Telling their stories at Burning Man about art. An experience. None of them were about sex, but they were about every person at the same event having different experiences
yeah.
and relaying their personal experience.
Mm.
And I just sat there and thought, this is such a cool thing. Why don't perverts have this?
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
when you say pervert, what do you mean?
Perverts means someone who appreciates sex.
Yes.
Talks openly about sex. It does not mean any of the negative... I'm taking the word back.
So, know? Like, sex positivity.
Sex positivity basically. Is pervert for me.
Got you.
Sex positive is a word a lot of people don't know.
Absolutely.
Because they go, oh, no, I'm sick. No, no, you're positive you had sex. That's not the same thing
right.
as sex positive.
Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was so lit up by story, but I was a sex party producer. So, right. my stories were dirty.
Yeah.
And there are kids, you know, wandering around on the floor at this cafe, and I can't tell my stories in here. There's kids here.
Right.
So I just walked outside, and there was a bodega next door, and people were coming out. Some guy came out carrying a quart of heavy whipping cream, and I'm like, no kids. I'm like, hey, you want to hear a story? I told him a filthy story. It freaked him out. And eventually, the people inside saw me doing this, and they went, why don't you tell your stories inside? I'm like, I can't tell my stories in there.
They're children's.
Yeah.
In there.
Mm. So I just kept, you know, I kept doing that. I kept going, loving the stories, lit up by stories because oh my God, I have so many stories. And then I would just accost strangers. That's not cool. And the guy who ran it said, just say, we did it. You know, and then at a certain point we did it. I'm like, you don't understand how much sex there is in the story. The story is the sex.
Right, right.
It's not a blah, blah, blah. And then we did it. And then go on. It is not that kind of story.
Right.
It is nine.
Details.
It's 9 minutes of the 10 minutes sometimes. And he watched me do that for months. And then eventually he went, I'm going to help you start your own one.
Aww.
And
wow.
I just was shy. I didn't think I could be the person who ran it because I was always an organizer. I was always behind the scenes.
Yeah. Yep.
Had a fear of public speaking like so many
people
do.
What? Yeah. And by the way, if you've ever been to a body show, that revelation would blow your mind because Dixie is so great on stage and you really are an amazing host that makes people feel welcome and just warm and welcoming. So that's shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the kind of person that would just have a panic attack if they were like, walk up to the mic and say something. I was like,
oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
But this is why I'm a really good storytelling coach because the people I deal with have terrible fears of public speaking too.
Yeah.
So I created a system that helped me feel like here are the things I'm worried about. I'm afraid I'm going to blank out on it. I'm afraid I'm going to head somewhere and never get there. I'm afraid I'm going to get off in the weeds and stuff like that. So I coach everybody who gets on stage at the curated show so that when they tell a story, I think everybody needs a coach when it comes to storytelling.
Yeah.
Because then they mirror back to you the same way a therapist does. So what I'm hearing here is this.
Right.
And I actually started understanding myself better as I started creating stories, understanding why I was so drawn to sex positive community.
Yeah.
And so I just started putting these things together. And I didn't host the first one. I was too scared. He made me tell a story. I had to be the first story at the first body storytelling.
Yes.
And my friend Ray Allen hosted it for me. And I had a panic attack. But like everything in life, once you do it, you're like, I did that. I can do anything
completely.
If I did that.
Yeah.
I hosted the next one. It was monthly. It was a potluck. It was just pervert community.
Yeah.
People I knew from parties and things like that. And then other people started hearing about it.
Right.
And they would go,
what's this?
Can I come to this thing? I heard about this thing. And I'm like, are you dirty? Really? You dirty? I thought it was only people like us that would be interested in this. And I'm like, sure, you can come. And they're like, but in those days, it was a get up and tell one. Kind of like, I got one.
Yeah.
And I was like, they were like, but you're not going to make me tell a story, right? I'm like, no, I understand fear of public speaking. I'd never do that to you.
Right.
Nick. Keep asking and saying it's too, you know, it's Wednesday, right? That's when it's happening. And then they wouldn't show up.
Oh.
And eventually I realized they didn't trust that they weren't going to be expected to tell a story. So I started curating it.
Right.
I said, here are the names of the people talking. None of them are your name. And it just blew up when I did that. They knew that they weren't going to be expected to do something because it's terrifying.
Right. You know? Right.
And then from when people started expressing interest in it, I mean, I should be a lot bigger than I am, but I thought nobody was interested in talking about sex.
Oh, I mean, everyone talks about it, whether it's on a stage or, and you know this better than anybody, whether it's with their friends and confident, like quiet spaces or on a stage. We're humans. We're human beings. I hate that there's so much taboo, especially in this country, around topics of sex, sexuality, body parts, like all those things. You know, yeah. I know. That's why there's such a demand for what you do. I want to circle back really quick because you said mm-hmm. something very interesting. Mm-hmm. You said something along the lines of hearing people or helping people tell their stories helped me learn about myself. Mm-hmm. You said something like that. Can you explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. I started body because I was like, I just want to hear, like, when you do sex parties, mm-hmm. people come in and they're like, and you're like, hey, Erin, how are you? Oh my God, I haven't seen you in a while. And then you start going, you ain't gonna believe this date I had last week.
Yeah.
Right? And then other people come up and they're like, oh, hey, Dixie, hey, Erin. And I don't get to hear the story.
Yeah.
That made me crazy.
Yes.
So I was like, I'm gonna make it so that person, Erin, has the floor.
Right.
Everybody else has to shut up.
Right.
And Erin gets to tell start to finish because I really wanted to hear the stories. I love stories.
Yeah.
I had been doing it for a couple of years before I was working a sex party, and this cute young blonde came in, first sex party, and my thing I like to do at sex parties was to play fairy godmother.
Yeah.
I like to work the door. They'd say I'm new or I've never been to a sex party, and when my shift was over, I'd go find them and help them get what they wanted.
Yeah.
You want to make out with a girl? I'll help you. Let's make that happen.
Yeah.
I know everybody at this party. I can help you. You just point me in the right
direction.
And, you know, protect them from predators because that can sometimes happen.
Yeah.
And this young blonde came in named Emily, and I walked up to her at that time when I was looking to be fairy godmother, and mm-hmm. she's watching some scene going on in one of the sex rooms, and she's just like, wow, I can't believe I'm here.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, this is just so not me because something bad happened to me when I was a kid.
Right.
And I went, something bad happened to me when I was a kid. That's why I do this.
Yeah. Wow.
You know?
Wow.
I had sexual assault in my history too, and sex parties are a way that most of us find a way to take back the power.
Wow.
I control this experience. You know, you wrote the consent guidebook.
Yeah.
This is about me taking back my personal power. Something happened to me where I wasn't in control, and I'm completely in control now.
Absolutely.
And I realized that's why I was so drawn to this lifestyle, and that's why storytelling is so powerful.
Absolutely.
Because you get on stage, you tell your story, other people who've never told anybody about that thing go, I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Something happened. I mean, those are the stories that relate to me too.
Right.
But we have every kind of stories. I mean, we have fun, crazy stories. We have poignant stories. But the ones that really stick to me, make me realize why I do what I do, are the really poignant ones. And I find that people who are getting on stage for the first time, that's often the place they want to go. And I'm like, yeah. Let's deal with fear of public speaking.
Right.
And talking about something hard that happened to you in your past.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Well, I think that's amazing too. So many of us have common experiences. You know, I did an event at the Pleasure Chest not long ago, and I was like literally almost in tears there because it was just a social mixer, and it's sponsored by Hashtag Open.
Yay.
By the way,
Body's Tour is sponsored by Hashtag Open, too.
Yay, we are loving them. Open. Check out the app.
They are a really great app.
Yeah.
Everything that we've been looking for a long time, these people are putting together. Yeah.
And more, you'll hear more about that. But yeah, shout out to Hashtag Open. They're an amazing app. Check them out. But at this event, it was basically a social mixer, and it was open to everybody. And, you know, I feel like a lot of times we are segmented in terms of social outings or this orientation or this gender or this whatever, and it was literally like everybody can come. And the first person that came up to me at this event was this femme identified person who was like, I don't know if this is the right place for me, I'm a virgin, and I know this is at a sex shop, but I don't know, it's just something about this. I'm like, I want to meet new people. I'm like, no, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And then later on in the event, because we were sharing experiences around dating and sex, and a trans person said, I had this amazing threesome with a couple people, And, you know, it went okay. It was awesome in some ways, but then other ways it wasn't great. And then the next day it was really great because we all sat around over coffee and talked about the things that worked well and didn't. I said, this is the most amazing group of people right now. Yeah. And there was like a guy who was on a business trip from Washington, D.C., like a very like, you know, like suit, you know, mainstream, straight edge looking, you know, 50 something guy there. I mean, it was all... ethnicities. I was just so happy. I'm like, this is what it is. And I felt like in that experience, to your point, everyone could relate to something that everyone was talking about. And I was like, this is the world. Like, world peace. This is the world, everybody. Like, yeah. Those things make me so happy. And that's why I do what I do. And so I totally can relate. I know, I feel like I am going to burst into tears now. I can still relate to what you're saying.
Well, it's not a good interview unless you burst into tears. I'm going to get you before the end of this. I have virgins come to my show, and yeah. They'll often come up to me. I had one who was in his early 30s not long ago, and he just came up and he goes, hi, I'm a virgin. I'm like, hi, do you have a name? And he was just like, I figured, you know, it's so intimidating trying to figure out how to, when you miss your little window where you're allowed to fumble along, it's just more and more pressure all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, I figured I could come listen to stories and I could learn, and that's going to teach me how this needs to work, because so hard to figure out how to get there. But you listen to people. I believe stories are a roadmap.
Yes.
Somebody else tells you they want this thing. Here are the steps they took to make that happen in their life.
Right.
And the rest of us can go, I have access to that. I know people who might. I could go to this.
Right.
And it just helps them form a plan for the things that they care about. And the things they want to start happening in their life.
Right. No, I mean, basically, so for my audience, you know, I like my interviews to be conversational. I do write down bullet points. I love bullet points, and I love flashcards, and I love a PowerPoint presentation. Long story short, I have bullet points of questions, and I think we kind of hit all of them. I really wanted to, before we wrap this up, because really, I'm sad that we're going to wrap it up now, but I like to keep my show a little tight, too, because we all have short attention spans.
It's true.
It just means you'll have to come back on the show.
Right.
Yes.
So one of the things I wanted to say is the reason I love storytelling and the reason I fell in love with storytelling is, I mean, there have been so many times over the years that people say, well, you have body storytelling. Why don't you have a queer version? Every show has every single. I don't believe in segmenting out communities. Yeah. I believe that each show could be something like people, if you've never met a trans person.
Yeah.
A story from a trans storyteller, a well-told story lets you be that person for 10 minutes.
Right.
There are people who might have judged that person before.
Right.
Who are sitting there listening, who are going, I totally get it.
Right.
It
absolutely
totally makes sense. And when you understand someone, there's a garbage truck outside.
Yeah.
When you understand somebody, then you empathize with them and you start to like them.
Right.
Because they're like you now.
Absolutely.
You had feelings.
Right.
Because they told their story well.
Right.
And so every show has queer people and like every single type of person. We have people who are like, my story's too boring. I'm monogamous. I'm like, we have monogamous stories all the time.
Yeah.
These are some of our most popular podcast episodes.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's great. The variety of stories that you tell. It's interesting that some people have said your show isn't queer enough.
I've gotten that over the years.
Interesting.
I had a musical act one time who apparently was queer identified who performed for me, and she had come to one show, thought it was amazing. I'm like, you want to perform at the next show? She came up to me at the second show and said, I just discovered this show is not queer. And I guess she only focused on the queer stories in the first one she'd been to. And I'm like, this show is everything.
Yeah.
There is no, it is straight, it's queer, it's trans. Any sort of identity fits in the show.
Yeah.
And she stomped off and wouldn't perform for me anymore because it wasn't specifically, exclusively queer.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I know, we could go on a whole tangent about this. It's very interesting to me because I do feel like in some ways certain things, I think it's important to have certain spaces that are specific to certain things. But also, I always appreciate things that are inclusive of everyone. Because I don't know, I just feel like I always grew up with people who were different. And I love that. I love that all of my friends look different and were different, had different experiences. Like, that makes me happy. So I love going to events and things, and to each their own. But I personally love going to events where I'm like, there's so many things represented here. Yeah. I love it. And yeah. and everyone's coexisting and commingling. I really am at my heart, at my core, world peace, sunshines and rainbows. That is literally what I am. I've been this since I was a little, a wee little lad.
Yeah, one of the things that we do at the show is we do lots of icebreakers and social connectors because we want people to believe that they have their own stories that are worthy of being told.
Yeah.
So to get themselves, I'm kind of fascinated by social anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in the way that people don't want to leave the house anymore because social media makes everything look beautiful and shiny, and I'm not beautiful and shiny, so maybe I'm not worthy of leaving the house.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
So we play Bango, our trademark game, at every show, and people go, oh my, owns more than 5 sex toys.
Wait, explain what that is, though.
Okay, Bango is a game I created a long time ago. It's a dirty bingo game, 9 questions on each one. There is a question that anybody at any level can answer. So, brand new to body storytelling. Every brand new person can answer that one. There's a write in your own question.
Yeah.
So, here's a pro tip. When you have a write in your own question, you see somebody attractive and body, you just check them out. You maybe look at them and you go, they've got purple hair. Find somebody who has purple hair. Because each box says, find someone who owns more than 5 sex toys, identifies as bisexual, write in a question, has purple hair. You get to go up. They go, clearly it's you. They write their name in, and now you know their name.
Yes.
You just broke the ice. You didn't have to go up and go, hi, what do you do for a living?
Right.
Or what's your name? Right. Which feels awkward.
Right.
And we give you a bunch of sex toys for talking to 9 strangers.
There you go. And what is your trademark? One of your trademark slogans is body.
Body gets you laid.
Exactly.
And if it doesn't get you laid, it's going to get you a new circle of friends, the sort of open-minded people you've always wanted to meet. You're going to get invited to parties. You're going to get a job. You're going to get a car. All of these things. We've gotten a bunch of people married.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
My Bango team in San Francisco met over Bango and went to ask a question.
Yeah.
Fell madly in love, got married, and now they're the team that runs Bango in San Francisco because I get to go, body, get you married.
Yes. Yay. I love it. I love it. Really quickly, I just want to shout out Dixie because she's been mentioned in a lot of really amazing places. I'm going to mangle the list, but you were just mentioned by Forbes. Yeah. Forbes, everybody.
Got
Forbes.
A best of from Forbes. What are they doing listening to Dirty Stories?
Dirty Forbes. I love it. And who else? Hustler?
Hustler just came out and they said, we're revolutionizing dirty talk, elevating dirty talk, I think is what they said.
Yeah.
I've gotten best ofs from GQ, Up Rocks, Marie Claire, Esquire twice, and hopefully a lot more, which is pretty good for somebody who doesn't know how to podcast, who had no idea what she was doing.
Doing it on your
own. People just want you to be real.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it is.
But also, you curate an amazing show. You're an amazing host. You've been doing it a while. You really know what you're doing. You're really great. Okay. Oh, am I all... So, Dixie and I, really quick, because we got to wrap up the show. Dixie, I actually did some social media for Dixie when she was doing her show more often in L.A. It was once a month? Did you say that last night?
It used to be monthly, yeah.
Monthly. And I would live tweet and Instagram the performers in her show in L.A. And so, we go way back, so to speak. So,
Erin was my social media in L.A. back in those days.
So I know it makes me like all nostalgic and sentimental. Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, let's wrap it up. Where can people find you, find more about Boggy and you personally?
Okay. I am Dixie De La Tour. That's 4 words. Dixie, DeLaTour. So you can look me up and most of what you're going to find is probably dirty. I also am a story coach. I've coached people for women in technology and TEDx. I love coaching people. It doesn't have to be sex.
Yes.
Storytelling is what I really care about. Mm. Bodystorytelling.com is my website. Instagram is Body Storytelling. I'm Body Storytelling Facebook everywhere except for Twitter where I'm just BAWDY.
Yes, at Bawdy. And not body, but Bawdy.
Yeah, and you can support us on Patreon and listen to the podcast ad-free.
Listen to the podcast. It's really great. So it's your podcast is basically people telling their stories.
Yeah, it's the stories told live on the stage, and we select each one, and then we'll just kind of combine a song that feeds off the feeling from the story. Mm-hmm. And we are actually, remember how I used to go like crazy all the time and couldn't keep up with everything? Now we are going through years and years of archives to find those stories that were recorded.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And now we're putting them on a podcast.
So great. I love it. Dixie, you're the best. Thank you for taking the time. Check out the Bawdy Storytelling podcast and check out the show at a city near you, maybe.
Yeah. Chicago, New York, San Francisco, Seattle. All of those are coming up soon. And the testicle is going to end very soon. You can get in there and vote for your city. And there's several cities that are really close. And there's a bunch of choices. So hopefully you live near one of those. We have people drive 6-7 hours to come to a show when we come to the East Coast and stuff like that.
Yeah, because people are starved for this kind of connection with other humans and to share this experience.
Yeah, the live show really is not like anything else. Like, yeah. It is not, okay, let's sit in our chairs. It is like interactive.
Yeah.
Like, you go home with phone numbers and sex toys.
Yes.
And
you reconnect with old friends like I did last night at her show here in LA. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Dixie, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on, Erin.
Of course. I'll see you in San Francisco at your show. I'm coming up there to see it.
And now it's time for the Consent Corner. Tips, advice, and insights from my book, The Consent Guidebook. Consent and the pop culture connection. We make a lot of assumptions around consent, in part because of the human interactions we see in pop culture. Many things in films, TV, porn, and music do not translate to our real human interactions. We collectively have been basing our interpersonal interactions on fantasy, something that a writer or artist created to entertain us. Over and over again, we've seen romantic scenes in movies where after many attempts, a hesitant woman gives in to the sexual advances of the handsome yet persistent object of her affection. We consciously and unconsciously mimic these stories and attempt to use them in our own social interactions. We are led to believe that we can convince someone to make out with us. In some cases, we treat someone's personal boundaries as a game, challenge, or obstacle that is stopping us from getting to our personal sexual goal. This kind of entitlement is learned behavior based on what we are taught growing up with pop culture. There's one major problem with this. We are real people with real boundaries, feelings, likes, and dislikes. We are not characters in a TV show, movie, or song lyric. In reality, being sexually persistent when someone is hesitant is problematic on many levels and is even considered to be a crime in certain cases. If our past interactions were based on what we learned from pop culture, gossip, and just going for it, this new age of consent is based on communication, respect, and reality. The Consent Guidebook is available in paperback and ebook on Amazon, Google Books, iBook, and wherever ebooks are sold. For more info, go to theconsentguidebook.com.